Hi, everybody. It's me, EBA. This is kind of a change from what we normally do. We haven't done podcasts in a while. It's been a lot harder to arrange them, partly because of my work schedule. Sir Mildred Pierce and Amber, they don't live far away, but you know, between their work schedule, my work schedule, and just life in general, it's been really hard to arrange one of these things. And I know that disappoints all three of the listeners that we have, but I've decided to do something different. This is just me. I'm still going to play some music, but you're probably not going to hear too much of the regular shenanigans and stuff we do. This one's kind of intensely personal for me. I'm going through kind of not a personal crisis so much, but there's just some real serious stuff going on that's got me concerned. I am going to break this up with music. I'm not going to just sit here and talk at you for 3 hours, but last year, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which is actually something that runs in my family. My father's diabetic. My grandmother is diabetic. So it's not really a surprise. It's something I kind of had always sort of expected to happen eventually. That was a year ago. Since then, I've been very fortunate because I don't take any medication. I was on a drug called metformin for a while, which is supposed to regulate insulin. But what happened was apparently like something like 1 in 3 people who take metformin have really bad... I'm going to say this delicately as I can, really bad digestive problems of every variety you can imagine. And I was one of those people. I put myself on kind of a low-carb, low-fat diet. It's like a altered, like my vision of the Atkins diet. But I specifically wrote into it that I was going to do things I enjoyed doing on the weekends. I was going to eat lots of sugary, carby foods, you know. I still don't go like fucking ape shit. I don't like, you know, go out and buy like a Hungry Man 100. I was blown away because now I started counting carbs. There, Hungry Man actually has a meal that has 97 carbs for the entire meal. And then the serving size, strangely enough, was very honest. It was the entire package, which is huge. But 97 carbs is like my entire carb intake plus some for a day in one meal. So, you know, if you're out there, if you're listening to this and you eat Hungry Man, you are going to die. Probably tomorrow. You need to stop. I mean, that's some crazy shit right there. I've never, even when I was like really, you know, not treating myself well by not eating very healthy, I never got into the whole Hungry Man. Like, you get so fat. Like, I'm fat, but I can walk. I go to the grocery store, I go out in public, and I see people who are so fat, they can't walk. They waddle. They kind of go one leg to the other, like wobble, 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 back and forth, and that's how they move. My problem's been lack of exercise and the fact that I've always been really attracted to not so much sugar, but carb things. I love pasta, and I love bread products. I would go to KFC, and one of my favorite things to do is to take the potato wedges and dip them in the mashed potatoes. So it's basically potatoes covered in potatoes. If you're healthy enough to try it and you can get past the fact that it's Kentucky Fried Chicken and, you know, whatever, but if you can get past that and try it, it's actually quite tasty, surprisingly enough. At least it was for me. So I've been regulating my sugar just fine. I've lost 60 pounds since last year. I'm doing really well. And I feel a lot better as a result. But at work and in life, outside of that, I've had a lot of stress. Work's been really stressful because I supervise other people. There's all these expectations, things I have to do. I take my job pretty seriously. I try to actually really get everything I'm supposed to do. Like if they give me, you know, if my boss tells me to do something, I try to do it. I try to get it accomplished. And I, you know, I had this meeting with my boss, and it wasn't her fault. Because she had some real important feedback to give to me, things that, you know, I just needed to correct. And I wasn't in serious jeopardy. Like, they love me at my work. They really do. They think I'm great. The other supervisors, I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I mean, they think I do a good job, you know. And so I don't know why, but I always get this in my head that I suck at everything I do. It's just my mental perception of everything. I got home and my left foot went numb. And after my left foot went numb, I was, you know, I have a little bit of hypochondria too, where I think that whatever's happening to me is like the worst possible scenario that could occur. So my left foot going numb, in my mind, I said stroke. I was like, oh my God, I'm having a stroke. I'm 35. I'm overweight. It's not it's not common for someone my age to have a stroke, but it's not unheard of, especially if you're overweight, diabetic. I mean, you know, and then with, you know, diabetes also, you have concerns about numbness and things like that in the extremities, especially the feet. So I was understandably concerned. I called the ER, and because of my hypochondria, let me tell you this too, because of the way I look at things, the way I always do that worst case scenario, I'm always scared that what I'm doing is I'm overreacting, right? I'm thinking, because I'm imagining the worst case scenario, that I'm really just having something normal and simple. There's no problems with it. I don't, you know, I realize because I'm overreacting, I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to back off. Maybe I'm going too far. So I start to doubt if I need to get medical treatment. So I really don't know how to respond when I'm in those situations. So, you know, do I overreact? Do I underreact? You know, I mean, I have medical insurance, but if I go into the ER, it's going to cost me $200. I want to spend $200 to have them tell me I'm being an idiot that my foot fell asleep. That's the thought that I'm having as my foot goes numb. So they told me if I could feel a pulse, you know, not to worry about it. And I could feel a pulse. So I was like, oh, well, then it must not be a stroke. So I just went to bed. Now, I'm going to play a song right here. The first song I'm going to play actually is by me. It's entitled Sunrise, Sunset. It samples some very beautiful music from the movie Fiddler on the Roof. Strangely enough, it's very apropos for what I'm talking about, because it's all about, like, dealing with aging and things you can't control. I'm also going to play a song. I'm going to play one of the versions of a song called Chicago by an artist by the name of Sufjan Stevens, or Sufjan. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, to be honest. I've played him on here before.
Every day is exactly the same. The places I go look like where I just came from, and I'm numb cause I'm high on cocaine, mumbling dumb things that spill from my brain, clutching the reins on this fucked up machine. Strange how I think I'm a link in this chain. I'm sinking in pain, so drinking on this drain. Water, follow orders, it's time to maintain. Sun comes, the moon comes, the sun comes again. Close my eyes once, miss a generation. Strip off my clothes and step out in the rain. Lost my good book, so I shout, I'm insane. Muttering, uttering, nothing to gain. Close a door, hit the floor, full of migraine. Heart attack pain, now I'm stripped of my name. Every day is exactly the same. Sicker on each waking day, thinking of stopping and running away. Blood sugar high makes my body decay. Can't feel my legs as I beg for some way. Stuck in a fucking display of dismay. Clutching a pad but got nothing to say. Burning away, it's the price that I pay. God isn't dead, but he led me astray. Life is too short to hit my knees and pray. Do for myself on this course that I stay. Look to the sky with an eye on sun rays. Taking some praise in exchange for my ways. Mother, please may I, yes, my son, you may. Gouge out my eyes so that now I can see. Painting the world with my tragic blood spray. I'll die tomorrow if that is okay. Biology and slaves to time, slaves to the future and slaves to our minds. I can't know your heart when I don't know mine. Once I could see, but then now I am blind. Look up to God and write down what you find. Break open bread and wash it down with wine. You leave it too if you just add a spine. Spineless and mindless, I leave you behind. sunrise to sunset, regret unwise lines. Far too fucked up to read all of the signs. Call on refined to release new designs. Pushing the old ways into the sublime. I have no answers, just questions unkind. When I am left with just nickels and dimes. Moon comes, the sun comes, moon and some bow shine. Everything is going to be just fine.
I made a lot of mistakes. mistakes.
You came to take us. All things go to recreate us. All things grow, we had a mindset. All things know, you had to find it. All things grow.
So that was Sufjan Stevens with Chicago, and then before that was Sunrise Sunset by me. Again, a song about aging and lack of control on things and, you know, dealing with life, which I find very oddly appropriate at the moment. In some ways, eerily reminiscent for a lot of the things that have happened in the past couple days. And I did just record that song last week, so I don't know, maybe I don't believe in premonitions, but, you know, whatever. So here's what happened. I go home Monday night with this just rough day. I got all this stuff reeling around in my head. I'm concerned about other things, too, outside of work. It's just a whole bunch of different things. I'm concerned about my car. My car's just, I'm terrified it's going to fall apart any moment. And I'm concerned about money. You know, I'm trying to save up for a road trip. I'm trying to save up time off for a road trip. I'm concerned about my health because I want to make sure I take care. I've been really hard on myself because lately I haven't been exercising like I should. I used to go out walking and it gets so stressful at work. I come home and I don't want to do anything other than go to bed or lie down and relax. I just don't want to go out walking because it's like, you know, I've been breaking myself all day and now the last thing I want to do is go out walk. I guess just I reached a breaking point. Because my foot just went numb. Like, I flipped a switch. That was part of what was weird about it. It didn't go numb gradually. Like, you know how you notice because your foot's asleep when you get up or something like that? It was like I felt it change. I felt it go numb. Like someone flipped a light switch. And so I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, it's a stroke. It's a stroke. So I called the ER. The ER says, you know, it's not a stroke. They tell me to go to bed. We already know that part. So I wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and the foot's still numb. Now the numbness is spread up to my knee, and on top of that, I'm real nauseous, and now I'm thinking, oh my God, there is something seriously wrong with me. This is not normal. Also, my vision was messed up. I was seeing a yellow splotch. And things were a little bit blurry. I thought at the time it was blurry, but I find out later it's not blurriness. It's something else. I'll get more into that later on. whatever is happening, it's moving really slow. I don't think it's an immediate health concern, but I definitely need to see a doctor. So I call, and I go in at 10. So it's been quite a while now. The first thing that happens, right, they're taking my vitals, and I was not freaking, I was freaking out, but not, you know, I was thinking I'm going to die or anything. But then the nurse taking my vitals, she gets to my blood pressure, and she must have put the band or whatever it's called, the thing that goes around your arm to take your blood pressure, she must have put it in the wrong place on my arm, because my blood pressure is ridiculously low. Now, here I am in with these possibly stroke-like symptoms, and my blood pressure is, like, incredibly low, and she starts, she goes and gets a crash cart and a wheelchair, and she's telling me to remain calm, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, so this other nurse comes in, and she's like, well, wait a minute. Let's take the blood pressure again. So she takes it, and it's completely normal. So... okay, here I am. I'm in the hospital for something that's stress-related, and all of a sudden, I'm now thinking I'm having a heart attack, and then I'm, you know, reeled back to reality. No, it's not a heart attack, or whatever it might have been. After that, my general practice doctor comes in and sees me. After running some basic neurological tests, they decide they're going to admit me to the ER, and he's telling me that they're going to run a CAT scan, and that they will most likely admit me, and... my doctor knows how I, you know, do with my thoughts towards my medical conditions, that I'm always kind of worried about worst case scenario. And so he tells me, you know, surprisingly, he knows that, because I'm saying, you know, doc, I can be a bit of a hypochondriac. He's like, yeah, but sometimes you know, even if you're a hypochondriac, you can still get sick. And he says, in this case, you need to be concerned. It's serious. And I was like, oh, my God. And he's like, yeah, Eric, you know, you need to be concerned about everything you're thinking of right now. You need to be concerned. But he told me, he says, you're in the right place. So, you know, don't, you know, just let us take care of you. But they take me over to the ER. And another reason that I kind of got worried was because normally at the ER, you have to wait a long time. But they got me a room, like, with the quickness. I mean, like, they got me a room very quickly. So I guess, you know, they must have thought it was something bad. I proceed to see, I must have seen at least 15 different doctors. I had this neurological test done so many times, I could deliver it to you. You want to do the neurological test with me real quick? Try this at home. This is what you do. Hold your fingers out and have someone else try to spread them out, right? Like you're holding up the number 5 with your hand. And have someone else try to press your fingers together. Here's a fun one. Have them hold their index finger out in front of you. You touch your nose, then touch their finger, then touch your nose again while they move their finger and you touch where their fingers move to. Back, finger, nose, finger, nose, finger, nose, finger, nose. You have to press your feet, like they call it pressing the gas. They put their hands down and you're supposed to press your feet against their hands and then the same direction, like towards your body. And they want to do the same thing with your legs, like up, down. Close your eyes really tight. Okay, now show me your teeth. Now stick out your tongue. And it was really interesting, the medical ingenuity, like the way that they would use, they didn't have something specific for this. They would just take other medical appliances and use them a different way. So they took a cotton swab, like a Q-tip, and it's really long, it's made of wood, and they crack it in half. Several of them did this. They take the cracked in half Q-tip, which got a sharp pointy end, and they'd scrape it on the bottom of my foot and say, you know, can you feel the sensation there? How does it feel over here? And on my left leg, up the thigh and on the foot, I'm not feeling the sensation. I would say probably 50% of what I'm feeling on the right side. So... they run all these tests, and finally they give me a CAT scan. I barely remember the CAT scan at all. The CAT scan wasn't that bad. It was just, you know, they take you in, and they sit you down on this table in this big ring thing, but it's not that thick. It's very thin. It doesn't even touch you, and it basically just, zip, 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 you're done. Okay, go. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So they take me out. They don't tell me the results of the CAT scan. Then they order an MRI. Now, I'm thinking an MRI is just like a CAT scan. I have no idea. I've never had either before. I mean, everyone's seen movies, and you see, like, the people being wheeled in. I figure, you know, they're going to stick my head in this thing. You know, I can't move. That's fine. I've been in medical procedures before where I couldn't move for one reason or another, so I can deal with that. If you've never had an MRI, first off, talking to the techs, they say the one thing people say the most is it's like being in a coffin. That is not true at all. If you're in a coffin, you can move. You have a lot more room than you have in a fucking MRI, let me tell you. The easiest way to describe it is it's like being in a lipstick, okay? You are literally that confined. You are in like a tube of toothpaste, and you cannot move, period. They will not let you move. I'm not claustrophobic. I'm really not. But they take me, and I'm fine. I'm like, they tell me it's going to be 30 minutes. I'm like, 30 minutes, I can't move. I guess I can deal with that. Then they push me into it. They basically, it's a mechanical table, and it raises you up, and then it slowly inserts you into the tube head first. And I'm like, okay, this isn't that bad until it starts to go past my shoulders. And then I start freaking out. Not because I'm claustrophobic. I'm not claustrophobic. I don't like the idea of being pinned down like that. I don't have a fear of being pinned down either. I'm a very fidgety person. I like being able to move. I don't like being, it's not a problem with being restrained either. It's hard to put into words. I want to be able to scratch my nose and move my arms and adjust my legs and get comfortable. And they're telling me it's going to take like 30 minutes to do this MRI. I mean, I talked to my dad later on. My dad had to have an MRI, and it took him 44 minutes. So I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you're going to stick me in this tube. And I was like, I'm telling him, I'm like, you know, I can't do this. I cannot do this. Can you call my doctor, tell him that they're going to have to deal with the CAT scan. That's it. And they're like, well, actually, you know, you don't really have the choice in it. And, you know, what they're going to do, they're going to basically, they're going to drug you. I was like, well, you know, hey, that's an idea. Can you knock me out? You know, just render me unconscious. I'll do whatever the fuck you want me to do. Just knock me out. That's fine. If I don't know what's going on, if I'm brain dead. But then, you know, as I'm saying these words, it's like, well, yeah, but wouldn't that affect what they would find with the MRI? Of course, yeah. I mean, duh. But at the same time, I just don't want to believe it. So I'm just really pressing for them to knock me out. I'm like, no, we can't knock you out. Probably for that reason. They never really explain why, but I'm sure that's the reason why. Because you can't knock someone out when you're trying to scan their brain. You'd be altering the brain chemistry. It'd defeat the purpose. So what they tell me is they can give me a drug to relax me. And I'm like, oh, man. But they're like, then you won't be able to drive home. And I'm just, you know, at this point, I just want to leave the hospital. I'd been there for at least 8 hours with no food or water, by the way. I went in at 10. I ate breakfast at 9, and I had not had something to eat or drink the whole time. And so I'm like, well, you know, I'll see what I can do. So I kind of get myself psyched up. I have to do this. It's not going to be an option. I need this done. I mean, it's really important for me to have this done. So I'm going to do it. And I tell them, I said, this is what you need to do. Okay. I'm going to lay there and relax. What I need you to do is they told me they can communicate to me. I can communicate to them. There's like, I don't know how they get a mic in there because they can't have anything metallic. So I'm not sure what the communication system is, but somehow they can hear me and I can hear them. And I'm like, okay, well, look, can you just walk me through? You got to do, they said they have to do 9 scans. I said, can you just tell me you've done 1 of 9, 2 of 9, 3 of 9? So they did that, right? And they would tell me the duration of the scan too. The process with my father took 45 minutes, 44 minutes, I think is what he said. And they tell me it typically takes 30 minutes. They wheel me in, and I was out in 12 minutes. They said, and I thought at the time that they say this to everybody, you know, but they said that was the fastest scan they'd ever done. And I was fine. I mean, I wasn't happy. I wanted to get out, but I was able to maintain myself very close, very, very still. Very calm. They give you a little ball, like a little squeeze ball that's on a tube that basically, it's like they call it the panic ball, where basically you squeeze it and they'll immediately pull you out. And then the other thing about the MRI is your head's completely restrained. Like they put earplugs in, which I'll get to in just a second. They put earplugs in. They put this muffling stuff on each side of your ear because it's very loud. And then they put this like elaborate plastic like headdress thing, and then there's a mirror for fuck's sake, what the fuck is the mirror for? Because I would love to say that it would be so I could read a book or something like that, but it wasn't a very in focus mirror, and it didn't give me a view of anything other than my feet. So I suppose maybe it's supposed to be so someone who loves you can stand by your crotch, basically, and poke their head over your crotch and be like, oh, are you doing all right, honey? Oh, it's going to be okay. I don't know. I don't know if that's what the mirror's for or not. It allowed me to see outside, but not much. And then the tube itself is lit, so it's almost more like those tanning machines. But you're completely confined, and it's confined from just about like a couple inches above my waist. And I'm a big guy, not just in weight, but in height. I'm 6 foot tall exactly. I have broad shoulders, and so my arms, which, you know, I went in because of numbness in my arm and my leg, and now my arm is literally going to sleep because of this pressure, and I can't move it. The actual process, you know, nothing moves. You don't see anything, but you can hear something's going on, and it's this electronic noise. Now, I'm going to give you an impression of what an MRI sounds like. Are you ready? This is what being in an MRI sounds like, okay? But for about the duration of the scan, like the whole time you're there. So if you're there for 30 minutes, for 45 minutes, it's 45 minutes of that. That's what you hear. And it's loud. Even with the earplugs and the cushions next to your head, it's loud. It's fucking loud. The sound didn't bother me because in my head, the way I cope, this is so weird, but it's true. It worked. I listen to so much electronic music that I just started composing music to this, because it's very rhythmic, you know. So in my head, I'm hearing, and I'm going, you know, that's how I cope through the MRI. I was just like, and they would walk me through. They'd say, okay, we're on, you know, we're on 3 of 9, and here you go. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm very disappointed at this point because, you know, if I'm going to do all this shit, for God's sake, you know, show me a really cool picture of my brain. I want to see what my brain looks like, okay? I want to see them rotate my head around and be like, oh, there's my cerebral, oh, that's awesome, my cerebral cortex right there and all that shit. I ain't freaked out by that. Hell, yeah, show me my brain. I never got to see my brain. I'm so mad about this. But anyway, the MRI and the CAT scan don't show anything wrong. I mean, there's positively nothing wrong. I had not had a stroke. You can rule out a lot of the different things that people are concerned about. Because I talked about this online, people were saying TIA, which I don't remember what that stands for. It's something to do with like a mini stroke, I think is what it's called. Heart attack, obviously they can't see with an MRI, I would think. I don't know. But they ruled out heart attack. They ruled out stroke. They ruled out things like multiple sclerosis and a whole host of other conditions. Because the problem with the symptoms I had is they aren't specific to any one condition. They kind of overlap on a lot of different conditions. So after that, right, they basically tell me that I'm okay. That it's most, they don't know what's going on. They're going to send me off to some neurologists. They do more neurological tests, the same test. I had that test so many fucking times, not even funny. One of the weird things about that, too, is that every doctor I would see would ask me the same questions and give me the same tests. And I'm sitting here, I guess maybe they have to, I don't know, but I'm sitting there going, don't you guys talk to each other? You know, I was under the impression that hospitals kept charts, like we administered this test, so we can scratch off giving him the same neurology test we've just given 15 times before. You know, maybe the 16th time that they might find something that they didn't find the other 15 times, it didn't happen. You know, or and it gave me the impression that they all doubt each other. Like you know, yeah, they gave him the test where they have him like push his arms apart and see if they can press their arms against mine. But maybe that guy's full of shit. Maybe the doctor who said he passed that one was lying out of his ass. And in reality, our patient can't do that. And I need to check to make it sure. So they exhausted all due diligence in trying to determine that I, you know, was able to do all these neurological tests. I got really tired of that. Actually, they sent me home. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about what it was like to be in the hospital when we come back. So now I'm going to play a song by an artist by the name of Gregory and the Hawk. This is a remix of the song called In Fact. This is the Carousel remix. And after that, I have an interesting song by RJD2 called The Sleep Away. It's kind of a scratch-happy, kind of funky little ditty. It's different. Enjoy.
Step 1, light me on fire. Step 2, draw clean.
Me from the hospital. Now, a little bit about the hospital itself and what my stay was like. As I said, they didn't feed me until after I'd had my MRI. By then, I'd been there. It was 8 or 9 p.m., literally. And I had not eaten since 9 a.m. and had any water, nothing to drink. So that kind of made things worse. And then what was really annoying is I would tell anyone who came in, I was like, well, can I please just get something to eat? Or can I leave, go down to the cafeteria? I don't mind walking down there and buying myself something. And they're like, no, you can't leave, but we'll see if we can get you something to eat. No one would ever say, no, you can't have anything to eat. If they had said this test, you know, that we're going to do, you can't have anything to eat because it'll make it worse or so, I don't know. I can't imagine how eating something would interact with an MRI or a CAT scan, but you know, maybe there's something, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But that was kind of a problem. And then something about me in ERs. I've been in the ER like plenty of other people have, I'm sure. And every time I've been in the ER, I've always been next to someone who's just absolutely batshit insane. Now that I have my cell phone, I can record. So I want to play you guys something. It's not going to come out very well. I'm going to play you a little something that actually, this is the person in the room next to me. Now, this isn't what they were doing most of the time. She was actually doing something different most of the time I was there. But this is what she sounded like. And this is not through the wall or anything. This is standing right outside her door. And the bulk of the time I was there, and she was still there when I left, there would be nobody in the room. And she was going, mow, mow, blat. It was like this, like, mow, mow, blat. Mow, mow, blat. I'm sitting there. I haven't had much sleep. I'm stressed out. I'm upset. And what the fuck is she doing? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? And if you couldn't really hear it very well in the recording, which I understand, she was going like, row, doctor, row, doctor. Now, there's a doctor in the room. They're not touching her. I can see her. They're not doing anything to her. They're just there talking to family. She's sitting there the whole time just, row, doctor, row, doctor. If you know what the hell that is, someone tell me. I just need to know what I can do to avoid having it. I'm sorry if that sounds cold and callous. It's not that I mean to be, but Bloody hell. That's like, whoa. She looked perfectly normal. She didn't have like an extra head or horns or anything like that. I mean, it was just an ordinary person just making all this. It was gibberish. There was never, the only English word I heard, the only word that made any sense in my native language from America was the word doctor. And doctor was like dogma almost. It was almost like the word dogma, but I'm pretty sure it was doctor. I don't know. I hate to sound insensitive to other people's medical conditions, but it would be nice if I'm going to go into the hospital to be next to people who are normal. I don't know. Maybe I'm not normal. I don't know. They're probably sitting there. The lady's probably like, what the fuck is with that guy? You know, what's his problem? I don't know. So one of the things they noticed that other people at work noticed yesterday was my left pupil is larger than my right pupil now. This is a new thing. This is not always like that. And that's just kind of odd. Like David Bowie, Marilyn Manson, you know, not that extreme, but it's like about a millimeter larger. When I went to the ER last night, they didn't notice. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I go to work and everyone's concerned. My boss comes up and hugs me. She's, you know, oh, we're so worried about you and, you know, make sure you're okay. Take care of yourself. You know, anything you need, just let me know. Start doing my regular duties and I get to this meeting that I have to go to. And it's about the middle of the day. I come out of the meeting and I'm like, you know, my vision's worse, like really bad now. I've lost about 25% of my vision, I'm estimating. And the numbness is spread up into my shoulder and into my upper arm, not my lower arm, not only my fingers, but it's spreading up to there. And so I go to sit down at my desk. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to really worry about it. But then I start taking phone calls and the numbness is spread into my ear and into my lips and my nose, behind my eye. I can feel it in my forehead. And I'm like, oh my God. And then something I left out that's really important is before I went to work, when I took my shower, all the places that are numb, they really feel warm. I mean, it feels like almost like a fever. That's how warm it feels. Without all the things that a fever brings with it, you know, like the weird kind of sensitivity and stuff like that. But when I took a shower, at first the water's cold, right? And cold water hurt. And even now I've got like a cold soda can. Ooh, ow. I've got a cold soda can with me. And when I put it on my leg, it hurts. I mean, like really hurts. Put it on my other leg, it's like, oh, it's cold. Also, the yellow splotch is gone, but I mean, it's not. I thought it was blurriness, and it's not blurriness. Everything's going gray. Like all the color is disappearing and all the black and white are kind of merging together. I just, because of all the stuff going on at work, I'm like, oh my God, my symptoms are getting worse. One of my employees, Roxanne, who's a sweet person, and I'm sure she didn't mean to scare me as much as she did, but she's like, well, I had the same problem. I had something with my eye and my leg went numb and I have multiple sclerosis. And that's what it was. I'm like, oh my God, I've got multiple sclerosis. Cause you know, I told y'all what I had, my hypochondria. And I'm like, oh my God, I got multiple sclerosis. And in the back of my mind, I got this little part of me, this rational part that's going, you don't have multiple sclerosis. They would have detected that in the MRI, you fucking moron. What the hell's wrong with you? But that little part of me immediately got beat down by the big part inside me that's like, no, you shut the fuck up. You've got multiple sclerosis. You're going to fucking deal with it. You know, just duct tape your mouth and be quiet. So I go up to the front. I'm like, now I'm in tears, which happened. I broke down also at the hospital. The first time I went in, I was like, my doctor told me I needed a CAT scan. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to miss work. So I was calling my boss and I was like literally sobbing at the front desk. This was the day before. And then while I'm getting ready and going out to drive and drive back to the ER last night, I'm like, oh my God, I'm breaking down. And so if this is all created by stress, this whole situation with the symptoms isn't helping. So I get in and I tell them what happened and they run the same battery of neurological tests. I mean, exact same ones. Press on the gas, you know, can you follow my finger around the room? Blah, 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 blah. So they get done. I see two separate doctors this time. I get the second doctor. And the second doctor, he sits down, talks to me for 30 minutes. He's like, you know, you have a lot of symptoms and they stretch a lot of different things. And we run the CAT scan, we run the MRI, and we know what you don't have. And I'm like, and you could tell, and I'm asking him, I'm like, so you could tell if it was multiple sclerosis off of an MRI, right? He's like, yeah, we could tell. It's not multiple sclerosis. I'm like, oh, okay, thank God. Oh, thank God. You know, he's like, look, we don't know what's causing what's going on with you, but we know what the most likely thing is, and it's most likely stress. He didn't say it that way, but I mean, basically, he was very persuasive in saying that we can't say for sure that this is what it is, but it's most likely stress. You know, I've had a lot going on, and we talked about the things that have been going on in my life. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's a lot to handle. Basically, that's where I'm at today. They told me to take today off, and I feel okay, but they just want me to relax. They want me to, you know, get kind of calmed down. So part of the reason I'm recording this is because I just wanted to get a lot of this out and you know, see if maybe talking about it might help a little bit. And I do feel a lot better as a result. So I'm going to play another couple songs. I'm going to dip kind of into the old school here, and I'm going to play something really obscure. I listen to a lot of hip-hop, and this is a really obscure hip-hop song from the mid-80s by a group that, this is, as far as I know, the only thing they've ever put out was a single, two songs. This is the lead-off single. It's called Rock Nice. It samples ABC by Jackson 5, so if you like that song, you'll kind of get into what they do at the beginning of it here. Heavy amount of scratching and just that old school rock it out 808 let's kill shit type vibe. I'm gonna follow that up with another old school song. The song's called Reasons, and it's by Minnie Riperton and or Riperton. I really like her music too. Just something to groove out to. Enjoy.
Rock a Destroy on the mic, you terminate on the face. Dollar bill, protege my peer. I'm your program set, he's a cut engineer. Delete opposition and hard rock attire. You'd be more confused than a trouble on fire. Close to all you round swipers, putting you in diapers. Frontin' like you hype as a jewel gets hyper. I'll maneuver, acute pain soother. Dark undertaker and death grammar. Use a transform to a musical form, which is only equal to that of a storm. Master of the ceremonies, shouting duck, dedicated to this mic, ready to erupt. I'm always amazing and never corrupt. Worrying, I'm breaking out. Dollar bill, beat me up. Do you wanna rock nice with me? Do you wanna rock nice?
Like aching promises, I feel them in my bones, slipping through my fingers to dance upon the road. The reasons for my life are more than I can hold. But all the sweet delight to sing with all my might, to spark the inner light of wonder burning bright. You're
Riperton or Riperton, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. So I'm going to wrap this up with just a few parting thoughts, observations. Some of the things they didn't talk about that just didn't really fit in with the flow of the story. First things first, I'm not trying to get graphic here, I'm sorry. But when I say the left side of my body is going numb, especially from the waist down, it's something that you just don't think about. My left ball is numb. It's crazy. I mean, there is no sensation there at all. You know the phrase numb nuts? I mean, that's basically where I'm at right now. And that's weird. I'm sorry. I don't care what your opinion about the situation is, like what you're thinking about, like how you look at it. That's fucking weird. I don't really have much to add to that. I'm just pointing it out. I'm sure you guys appreciate the information. Something else is I've come kind of to grips with the probability that it's stress. We really still don't know. I have to visit neurologists further. And I'm facing the very real possibility that they may never know what happened. Talking to people online, you know, these are the classic examples of what your body can do in a panic attack. Several people have mentioned that this is the type of thing that can happen when you get stressed out, that this type of thing's realistic. It's far more common than you think, but you're left with the probability that it's psychological, psychosomatic. And everyone is a real sensitive, like, oh, that doesn't mean you're crazy. And I don't think I'm crazy. I mean, what blows my mind about it is I've been through some serious hard times. And it's odd because to me, it's like, are you serious? Like, this is what's brought this on? Like, I didn't experience this, you know, like, no, not diabetes, not facing the potential death of your father. You know, you're not facing your mother going through cancer. You're not facing the loss of your job and possibly, you know, not only with the loss of your income, but also the loss of your car and your home. But freaking out over some feedback on how you're handling your employees. That is what, like, pushed me over the brink. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't, obviously, there's other things going on. But I've been far more stressed out than this before, and I don't know why I reached a breaking point with this. It's an absolute mystery to me. And at the same time, it's absolutely fascinating to me that the human body can do all that. You know, like, your brain can basically tell you to numb itself, you know. I mean, this is not something that I'm imagining, okay? Believe me, I've gone through that in my head. Like, okay, if I just concentrate really hard and say, okay, start feeling again and, you know, start seeing again. Right now, my eyesight has diminished to about 50% in that left eye. It's gone completely gray. I can barely see out of my left eye. And this is some days later. This whole thing started on Monday night, and it's now Thursday. I'm fucking blind in my left eye. And I got to laugh about it because, I mean, there's nothing I can do. I mean, I can't get upset about it. I mean, getting upset isn't going to help, which is something I've had to deal with. And then another part of me is like, you know, a lot of the things that we think about in terms of fear and dealing with stress and dealing with pressure, you know, sweating, getting a lot more saliva in your mouth, and then the more extreme cases, like shitting your pants and pissing yourself, those are all fight or flight instincts. I didn't do any of that, but I understand where that comes from, why your heart races, because you've got to, you know, you potentially might be running away, and you shit yourself to scare off the predator, you know, because if something's going to eat you, it doesn't want to eat you if you're covered with shit, you know, let's just be honest. Most animals are going to be like, oh my God, that thing's got shit on it. You know what? I'll go somewhere else. I'll go eat something else. Animals do that too. You know, we're animals, so we respond the same way animals do when that, you know, in those type of situations. That makes sense to me. I understand why the human body does that. This does not. I'm like, what the fuck is the purpose in this? Like, what's the ultimate goal here? How's having the left side of my body go numb and lose vision in my left eye? How is that benefiting me if I have to run away? I am at a loss there. I really don't know. The only thing I can think of is that maybe by reducing the amount of stimuli my brain gets, you know, it's kind of like on a cooling down phase. Like it's been taking in so much, it just can't handle it anymore. So it's shutting off. It's saying no more gets in right now until I get some of this stuff I've already got here processed. But you know what? Fuck you, body. I'm sorry. Body, fuck you. That is, I want my vision back. I want the feeling in my left leg back. I want to be able to take a shower and not feel like I'm suffering pain because the water's cold. I just want to get back to normal. And I'm realizing that in order to do that, I'm probably going to have to learn to better cope with stress, which I never really thought I had trouble coping with stress, which is, you know, kind of in and of itself bad. So, and then I'm not going to get into the details of it for one reason, just because they're fucking boring. But none of the other things that have happened have helped. You know, it's just been this spiral of doom, this vicious circle, because every single thing that happens, you know, is going to, if it is stress, it's going to make it worse. So one of the things that's happening is that, you know, my bills are getting all messed up with the hospital from previous medical visits and other stuff. You know, apparently they turned me over to a collection agency And they have no record of the bill that I paid off. So they're saying I have this bill that I never paid off that I did pay off, and I've got to contact the bank and get all the check information and send it off to them. And I never even knew I got turnover collection agency because they kept sending me regular bills. So what the fuck is that about, you know? And I don't know. It's just one more thing, and I could be worried about it, but I'm just not going to. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to handle what's on my plate, and I'm not going to handle it today. I'm going to probably not handle anything until Monday. So I'm not doing anything this weekend. I'm going to work on music a little bit, maybe draw a little bit if I feel like I can see enough to do it, then spend most of my time watching TV and playing video games and listening to music. I know this hasn't been a regular thing. I appreciate anybody who's actually sat down and listened to this entire recording. I've gotten a lot of support from family and friends online, from Facebook, from The Pile, from you people out there in Caption Land. And I appreciate everything you say. I really do. It means a lot to me. Every single uplifting, supportive comment has meant a great deal to me. Thank you so much. It means a lot. Of course, you can always email me, ebaofvn@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. This has been podcast number 64. Big shout out to Sir Mildred Pearson, Amber, and Owen. Y'all take care of yourselves. Big shout out to Carmen and Roxanne. Generic, thanks for helping me out. Everybody on The Pile, thank you for your support. All the cappers who are sending emails and support. And of course, my mom and dad, you know, I love you guys, and thanks for coming out and making sure I'm okay at the emergency room. Take care. I'll stay updated.
1, 2. She was only 15 in love with bad R&B. She had to have vision cause she saw the star in me. Encouraged me to write about the drama in my life. To most I seemed strange, like something wasn't right. I used to fall a victim to the lunchroom comedian. Something like an outcast, started smoking weed and then I sort of fell into my own. Kinda felt at home when behind the microphone. But on the bus ride home, that didn't mean a thing. Harassed by the thugs on the corners they would hang. I got banged on, I got beat down. Carrying a golf club, walking up the street now. They respect me, they call me crazy. At least I'm not getting punked out on the daily. And when I look back, I wouldn't change a thing at all. Why you think I found this strength that I'm speaking to y'all? Your hopes and your dreams and your hate and your lies. Satan, Zen type patience got me sitting here waiting on the day when it's okay to love. When black men won't pretend that they are thugs. When teachers and doctors are treated like celebrities. You can get a job even if you got a felony. Check out my melody, let's live in harmony. We in this together, no man has autonomy. No man is an island, immune to the violence. This rap race is no place to raise a talent. What's wrong with smiling? What's wrong with peace? What's wrong with squashing beef before they label you deceased? Swallow your pride before you choke on your issues. I know you got family and folks that'll miss you. So don't misuse this gift you've been given. This life's but a dream, we are blessed to be living. Your hopes and your dreams and your hate and your lies. From the old and the wise to the young as they fly. And basically, man, I'm just a dude that tries to do right. You know, I try to make my tomorrows better than my yesterdays. Without hurting anyone else in the process. Cause if you leave the world a better place than it was when you got here, then we all win. Now there's birth and there's death, but the space in between is where the journey takes place. And you give it all meaning. It's waiting on us all, there's no need to pretend. No freedom in the feeling where you're fearing the end. All good things come to it, walk, don't run to it. Times you wanna end it all yourself, don't do it. Be original, be different. Be the one to stand up and shock this system. Your hopes and your dreams and your hate and your lies.
was all man died.